Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, beloveds. I welcome you to another Lord's Day here with us at Blessed Community. We trust and pray that all is well and the Lord is blessing you as He has done in days gone by. I will hope you're staying warm and toasty this morning. It's cold, but the cold that we feel physically does not compare to the warmth that we feel spiritually with the Lord indwelling within us and guiding and directing us. Amen. So as we begin our services this morning, we want to wish everyone a happy Lord's Day and let us begin. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Our text this morning will be taken from Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, and it reads, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." We want to preach briefly on this subject this morning. His name is holy. His name is holy. The purpose of what we do at church is to help bring us to our full growth in Christ Jesus. Therefore, anything that is said and done which will help us reaching our full development in Christ is in order. Anything done or said which stunts our growth or impairs our pathway in rising to the full stature of the fullness of Christ is out of place and counterproductive. Therefore, the end purpose of our conversion and our membership in the body of Christ, which we call the church, is to help us to God, to put on Christ fully in our words and in our work, by lip and by life. Therefore, the life of the disciple of Christ has many aspects, qualities, features which go up to make up a character which at last can be truly called Christian. We know some of these qualities, these portions of our Christian personality. For we're told in the book of Timothy that they are righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. But this morning, I want to speak of another quality, which I think must characterize and saturate all of the other traits, and the qualities of which I fear we are embarrassingly short of supply is reverence, the due regard to what is holy, an appropriate attitude toward the sacred. So we must all ask ourselves this: am I reverent toward whom and what ought to be held in sacred consideration? Because if the truth be told, reverence is a hard word to define. It's much like the old church mother who used to say regarding her relationship to God that I know what the Lord needs in my life. I just can't explain it. And this is true almost always. The things that are dearest to us are the hardest to explain. Reverence falls in this category. Reverence is respect, but it's much more than that. Because one may respect a vicious pit bull, but reverence for such an animal is unlikely. Reverence means esteem and honor, but yet it still means more than that. Because we can esteem and honor a famous athlete or a musician, but you better not bow down and worship that individual. You see, reverence suggests something like bowing down and worshiping. So you could say that reverence is respect and esteem flying at a high altitude. Reverence involves a deep movement of the soul and emotion and awareness, which touches our minds, our hearts, and makes us want to confess and give thanks. Reverence means adoration. It means awe. It means affection. It's a mixture of terror and love. It speaks of God and what is of God. And so much which approaches reverence, even respect, sadly has passed from our lives, and we're not better off because of the loss either. So there are people of the Christian world with whom some of us disagree with, but who are right when they say that we become too loose in our attitudes and what we tolerate. We too often reward spoken garbage with a smile. Public filth in our recorded material and movies and in our books and on our smartphones is looked upon too much with acceptance, with not enough shock. We get taken by the charge that it is hypocrisy not to drag out in the open everything that has been secret. Honestly, reality has become an excuse for all kinds of dirt to be put on public display. Today, it's become stylish for people to display their secret habits, their sexual preferences, their most questionable thoughts be for the world. And therefore, bit by bit, they're slipped into every day talk language, which was once heard in locker rooms and amongst the rudest and coarsest people. Movies have now become more open in the language and in the scene, and vulgarity is palmed off as art, and gutter talk is described as being honest. I say all of this to raise the question of whether the loss of a sense of God in church among so many brought this on, or whether all of this vulgarity and exhibition of our secret acts brought on the loss of faith in church and in God. Whatever it is, Christian people included, we show too little of a sense of the sacred. There's something wrong with people who are so hardened that nothing ever makes them gasp and nothing makes something of awe stir within them. Children of God should become sickened by the facetiousness in the references to God, the careful and casual use of the name of our Maker and our Father. Let me tell you this. The God we serve is not some man upstairs. And to refer to him is to admit a shocking irreverence and an almost unbelievable ignorance. the Bible tells us, rather than being some vague man upstairs. Our God inhabits all creation. Since he tells us in Isaiah 66:1 that the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. God is not some shadowy presence of about whom we can speak dismissively, saying, somebody upstairs loves me. Oh, no. God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Jesus has told us that we ought to look upon God who has made us and before whom we must appear one day. Therefore, in the prayer Jesus gave us as a model and a pattern, which the centuries have come to call the Lord's Prayer, the matter of reverence occurs at the beginning. It may well be that no other part of the Lord's Prayer has been so overlooked and so casually viewed and even ignored as those words which deal with reverence, a proper respect of the holiness of God. For at the start of the prayer, we're told that when you pray, say, Our Father, holy will be thy name. Revered will be thy name. Let thy name be treated as holy. Now, these words, they are almost hidden, if I may put it that way, between the wonderful and tender address of God our Father and the mighty hopes that are to follow. See, we rush past these words in the eagerness to get to the mighty things, the coming of the Lord's reign throughout the earth and our own physical and spiritual needs. We better go back and understand that Jesus says we must come to a reverence for the great Creator who loves us before we can approach his reign or hunger or spiritual needs. The text says, Holy will be thy name. And there is much that is sacred in life. And we ought to recognize what has divine in it whenever we see it. Now notice now that I said the divine in this and that, because not all things are divine. There's a respect approaching reverence that I owe you, but I do not owe that respect of reverence to you because of what your name might be. Because someone might give your name to, or my name to, a dog or a cat. The respect approaching reverence which I owe you is not due to your position. Because tomorrow you might not occupy whatever position you hold today. I look upon you with approaching reverence, not because of your physical appearance. I must look upon you with a certain respect, approaching reverence, because there's something of God in you. Just what it is of God to which I refer, sadly, I can't define. But we're told in the book of Genesis that God has put something of himself in all of us. We're not all God, but something of God is in each and every one of us. So when we look to our dealings and our relationship to God, reverence unmixed with anything else becomes us. The name of God is awesome and overpowering. beginning in the 3rd century before Jesus, Jews had stopped calling God's name. They didn't stop calling on him, but they stopped using his name because his name was too holy for human lips. So instead of speaking of their God as Yahweh, they began to use the word Adonai, which means the Lord. And later, that became too familiar. So they shrank from ascribing human sound to God. And we need not follow this practice. Indeed, we draw closer to God upon the authority of Christ Jesus. And so believe that we may come before the Lord boldly upon his throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. But yet there still should be in us a dreadful awe, a wonder, a reverence when we contemplate great and mighty God. The sheer spectacle of nature, the immensity of space, the cosmic highways where the planets move in stated precision and ought to make us reverence and bow down before God. I'm told that many of us, when we pray, we don't pray with our eyes closed. And I agree with anyone who says that the outside form is of no spiritual standing with Christ Jesus. But yet there ought to rise up out of our hearts and minds at the mere thought of dealing with God a sense of worship, a sense of respect, adoration, and humbling of ourselves before him. How our fathers made language serve the cause of reverence when they would pray to God, and before they would start off, they would say, "We come before thee in the humblest way that we know how. Our hearts are below our knees, and our knees are in some lonesome valley. Our God is as great as he is good, and as good as he is great." And that is to say marvelous things about both his goodness and his greatness. You see, the God that we serve deserves our reverence. He deserves our bowed heads and our bended knees and our trembling spirits. The touch of a whisper in our voices and unstudied pauses of silence when we talk with him. Our God is different from us creatures. You see, a creature, almost by definition, is someone that was not always. Creatures are what they are made to be or what they grow up to be. Creatures are what they one day will not be. They are what they were not. They are what they will not be. But praise be to God. He is, ever was, and was as he will be. Therefore, I bow before him, because God is without start and without finish. God is without increase and without decrease. God never grows better because he is already and ever was perfect. God never grows worse because in him there is no change. He is first and last. Therefore, God demands and receives my qualified reference. He is undried from anything, undependent on anything. He's lifted above time and change, self-existing and self-determined and self-continuing. Therefore, I bow down to God. And as we approach our God, as we have known him with every reference, wherever I see him in the Bible and out, he is that holy being, and yet drawing near to us because we could not pull ourselves up to him. Whenever we see or hear him, let us now always remember that God is holy. For at Mount Horeb, Moses hears the voice of God saying, "Take off your shoes, Moses, off of your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." And then if we look at the 22nd number of Psalms, it tells us that thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. And then in Isaiah, we hear the angels shout, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And notice now that they repeat the word holy three times because the Hebrew language has no way to express the superlative except by repetition. And all through Isaiah, God is the Holy One of Israel. And then in Revelation, the 4th chapter, the 8th verse, as the sacred record closes and we receive a glimpse into glory, notice that the heavenly creatures are crying ceaselessly, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Therefore, I bow in reverence for all that he touches is holy. His name is holy. His book is holy. His house is holy. His people are holy. His way is holy. His truth is holy. And above all else, his love is holy. Therefore, God is deserving to be revered throughout eternal ages. I don't know about you, but I don't have a problem with putting God in his proper place because holy is his name. His whole being is holy. Can I get a witness? Do you know that God is holy? And because he is holy, he is to be revered. And once we revere him, then we can move on to taking care of this physical hunger. Then we can move on to take care of our spiritual hunger. But make sure that you revere him first. Make sure that you revere his reverence. Make sure that you worship him in spirit and in truth. And then everything else will fall into place. But bear in mind, holy is his name. Can I get a witness? Holy is his name. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, dear Lord, we thank you for another occasion to worship you in spirit and in truth. And it's our prayer that you bless those who are listening by way of the airways, that you bless the community collectively as well as individually. And Father in heaven, we pray for this upcoming week that you allow us to see. We pray that you would be with us every step of the way. And if you see fit to allow us to meet next Sunday, we pray that you will guide us and direct us and just shower your blessings upon us, dear Lord. For we ask these blessings all in the blessed name of Jesus, and for his sake we do pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes. Lisa was in here today.
Lisa. be a dollar bill or try to see if I'm sick.
Sister,